Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating. I can always make a podcast episode or lecture about cytology. And when I recently put a question sticker up on Instagram, it's several people who asked to do another podcast episode about cytology. So you asked and I am happy to deliver. Just for reference, I have previously done other cytology podcast episodes, but I know time kind of goes on and more different people listen to the podcast. But if you want other episodes about cytology, you can go to the OG episode number one. And then I also go a little bit more in depth to toothpick clawfold cytology in episode 56 of the podcast. But just to kind of give a refresher, because it's a new year, 2022, and if I get more people listening who want to do cytology, I'm a very, very happy little dermatologist. Also, just a reminder that I do have the Derm Nerds, where we go over lots of cytology. If you like a community-based learning style, then cytology is definitely going to be one of the topics that we have for our topics of the month this year. And I also have the cytology guide and a whole cytology lecture that is a part of the Derm Nerds. So if you're in that group, it's included. So you can kind of get your RACE for the cytology lecture, you know, get a visual PDF that you can look at. And it's just about collection technique, not necessarily about everything we can see under the microscope. Though I will say the lecture does go over some pretty cool cases and shows you stuff under the microscope. So why do I want you to do cytology, and why do I put so much content out there about cytology? Well, it's quick. Really, in the grand scheme of dermatology and making sure they're on the most appropriate treatment, it's, you know, pretty inexpensive. It's instant. It's something that you can look at in the clinic. You can train your technicians to look at, and it's non-invasive. It doesn't hurt the pet to do it. Cytology is truly our minimum database for dermatology cases. So if you were seeing a case, a dog came in and they were just kind of ADR, not really feeling right, you know, what would you do? You'd probably start out with lab work and maybe x-rays. So this is essentially our lab work in dermatology, is collecting a cytology. It guides us to know where to go next, what our treatment options are, what other diagnostics really need to be done. It is that important. In repeat cytology, because things change, infections change, diseases change. We want to make sure we know if we've actually completely treated something and hasn't changed on us. So it's important to keep repeating cytology as well. The things that we're going to look for, you know, certainly infection is a majority of it. So bacteria, whether it's cocci rods, yeast, fungal infections. So sometimes you can see things like dermatophyte spores underneath the microscope, or hyphae. What type of inflammation is there? You know, are we seeing lots of neutrophils? Are we seeing lots of eosinophils? And we're actually worried, oh, maybe it's a cat. Maybe we're dealing with allergies. It gives us hints towards things like parasites or hypersensitivity disorders. You can see really cool autoimmune cells like acantholytic keratinocytes, which we often see in cases of pimphigus foliaceus. And you can get the uh-oh cells. So skin cytology can give you neoplastic cells or cancerous cells. I've had many cases where they come in for allergies. I'm not really sure what's going on. I collect cytology and then I see lymphoma cells. And I know I need to biopsy that pet, get an official diagnosis, and get them in the hands of an oncologist. So cytology is really that next, it's that first step to really guide us in what we need to do. You know, slides are really simple. Predominantly, we're just using DiffQuick stain in the clinic because it's quick and it gives us most of the information that we need. You need a really good microscope and then immersion oil to visualize it. And you need confidence. You just have to remember that cytology is like any other skill. It may seem simple, but really practice makes perfect. So make sure you're practicing. I've said this over and over again. Practice cytology if you have a dog anesthetized for a spay. Practice cytology in their interdigital spaces, which can be kind of weird to do. You know, practice collecting an ear cytology on still patients that are sedated or anesthetized so that you get your technique down. So when you do see the really excitable animal or the fractious animal, that we can feel comfortable getting those samples because we've already practiced that skill, just like any other thing we would practice in the clinic. So now I just want to kind of briefly go over the different types of collection techniques there are. I am by far a person that mostly does direct impression. You'll be called direct smear, impression smear, direct impression. That's essentially just using the slide and directly getting the sample on the slide. I take the slide, use the edge of a slide as a tool. So I put it at a 30 to 45 degree angle and I'm going to disrupt the top layer of the skin, or I'm going to lift up a crust and get underneath it, or I'm going to take the corner of my slide and open up a pustule. I'm going to dislodge scale. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to firmly press or kind of smear the material onto the slide. So I use this predominantly, but where it can be really good are moist lesions, if they're really greasy lesions. If you are going to remove something like a crust or sample a papular pustule, you'll kind of break it open and then directly put the slide on it. Some people find this a little bit more difficult to be aggressive enough to use for like drier samples. So you may use another technique like tape. You will get more intact cells if you're gentler, but you want to be firm enough to get a really good sample. That's where some people don't like this technique, if they can get away with other techniques, is because you are inevitably going to rupture open cells. So that is something that can happen, is you'll rupture open cells. You'll get less intact cells if you're more aggressive. But again, you just have to find a way that you feel comfortable collecting cytology, because there's lots of different techniques. You really just have to feel good about 2 to 3 of them and how you look at them under the microscope. I'm really comfortable with some of my cells being ruptured open. I feel like I'm pretty assertive when I collect it. So even in drier samples, I can get most of my information with a direct impression smear, but you'll have dermatologists who, you know, feel otherwise, and that's completely okay. The next technique is the swab technique. So this is where you're going to use a cotton-tipped applicator or a Q-tip, and you're going to collect samples. It can work really well for moist skin or tight spaces, like if you have a lot of debris in between interdigital spaces. And we're most commonly going to think about using the swab technique with something like an ear sample. So again, that's a tight space, right? So you're going to use that Q-tip, you're going to put it into the ear. Usually you get about to the horizontal and vertical junction, so you're not getting all the way down the ear canal, and then you're kind of rotating or smearing that within the sample itself. So I find this really, really helpful in draining tracts. I find it really helpful in the ear canal, moist areas that are in kind of strange anatomical areas. So interdigital spaces if they're moist, or periocular kind of by the medial canthus lesions, then a Q-tip can work really, really well. The next method is tape prep. So I don't particularly use tape prep very often, but there's lots of amazing dermatologists who do. And essentially, you're just taking the sticky part of the tape and you're using it to collect dry debris. And then the tape is being placed on a slide, and then you can kind of stain it and utilize that sample as a way to visualize what's going on the skin. So you'll just take tape, you'll firmly press the sticky side of the tape over and over again. A lot of people use this for dry lesions that are interdigital or perioral around the mouth. We'll get into staining, but there's a couple different ways that you can actually stain tape that we want to recognize that we'll talk about at the end that can be a little bit different compared to staining a direct impression smear. But again, really helpful for dry scaly lesions, kind of tricky anatomical areas like the lip margins, nail beds, interdigital spaces. I'd suggest using clear acetate tape or packing tape. What you have to know about tape, and this is why I don't particularly like it, but you can train yourself to read past it, is you get a lot of background debris. And so you just have to get comfortable with the fact that you're going to get a lot of keratinocytes on the slide. A lot of your infectious organisms like Malassezia are going to be in different planes. So you kind of have to go up and down with your fine-tuned microscope focus. But that's okay if that's something you feel comfortable with. Again, practice, practice, practice. Then tape is a completely reasonable way to collect samples. Next collection technique is definitely one of my favorites, and that is toothpick. So I would say that I use direct impression smear the most, toothpick a lot in claw folds, and then swabs for things like ears and draining tracts. The toothpick method is pretty amazing once you get comfortable with it. And again, I would check out episode 56 if you're interested in learning more specifically about the toothpick method. You just take a toothpick, just simple toothpick from the grocery store, and you insert it into the claw fold. You'll scrape the material from the proximal kind of claw fold area, and you'll just roll that toothpick onto a slide like you would with a swab technique after you collect an ear sample. You will be amazed what you find. If you see any brown staining to the claw, inflammation to the claw fold, or if the owners just report that the pet is licking and chewing a bunch to the paws, but you feel like the paws look okay, I would definitely do a toothpick cytology. I am amazed what I will find in some of these claw folds, and it can cause a lot of pruritus for that pet. You do not need a lot. I mean, a small sample can really, really tell you a lot, and it's really important to know if there's Malassezia, bacteria, or both that's in that claw fold that's complicating things. The last method, which again, I don't do much, but you can certainly do, is scraping. And not scraping that we would do for mites, but actually cytology with a scrape method. So you use a scalpel blade, you just sample. This is good for like dry, superficial debris. You'll get less background debris compared to a tape prep, but it can be a little harder to collect depending on, you know, patient cooperation and where you're trying to sample from. So you take the scalpel blade at a 30 to 45 degree angle, and you go numerous times in one direction, and you're just going to smear, and you kind of take the scalpel blade and almost do like a bread and butter, like smearing of that debris onto the slide. So we're not going to use mineral oil. This is not a scraper looking for mites. This is just for cytology of infection, inflammatory cells. And so you're just going to stain that like you would a direct impression smear. So those are kind of the main techniques as far as what we can do for just superficial skin cytology, you know, not looking at things like aspirative nodules or anything like that. So once you have your sample, you're going to let it dry on the slide. I don't particularly do a lot of heat fixing, but some people do. I just don't find it really necessary. If you make your sample and get comfortable with making thinner samples, then you don't really need to heat fix most slides, but some people still do, and you just want to be cautious that you don't need to do it for very long. For the diff quick stain, you're going to have your three solutions, your fixative solution, which is blue, your solution one, which is red, your solution two, which is purple. And so you're going to dip each slide. I say 5 to 8 times. I don't know if there's a magic time or number. Certainly when we're going fast in the clinic, these slides don't need that long in each stain. You don't need to let them sit there for a minute, but I like to dip them, you know, 5, 8 times and just kind of chatting as I'm kind of dipping and going along, and I can always get another sample if it doesn't stain well, but most of the time that works just fine. You want to allow the excess solution to drain into the jar and then touch it at the end of like a paper towel, because essentially you don't want to just go from, you know, the blue to the red to the purple without letting the excess come off, or you can dilute each solution. And then after you're in that final solution, the purple, you're going to dip it in distilled water or rinse it under tap water. If it's by a sink, you're going to want to rinse the side that doesn't have sample on it. And then you can just let it air dry. Some people use like a hairdryer in low heat, or what we honestly do just to be really quick is we just blot it in bibulous paper and then we'll go ahead and read it. Now, remember, I mentioned that when we do tape, staining can be a little bit different. So essentially, your tape acts as your fixative. So you can either just take the tape, put the adhesive side down on the slide, lift the edge of the tape and apply a drop of the purple stain. And some people find that sufficient enough. Or you can stain just the tape. You just skip to the red because essentially the tape has acted as your blue fixative. And then you'll go from red to purple, like you would any other slide, and then you can evaluate that. So it's a little bit different, and everyone's kind of got different philosophies of which way they use it if they do stain tape, but both of those have been reported to be successful. I hope that's helpful. Just another recap of collecting cytology, certainly something I think is really important. So I'm happy to kind of refresh the episode and put it out there. Again, if you kind of hear this and you're trying to picture, gosh, how do I make my cytology game better? How do I collect better samples? I really encourage you. I have a cytology guide on my website that you can just purchase on its own. It's just about collecting cytology, not about looking under the microscope. But all of that is included in with a whole PowerPoint that's an hour of race approved CE in the Derm Nerd. So if anything, just join the Derm Nerds for a little bit. You'll get your cytology PDF, you'll get your cytology lecture, you can get your race credit, and then you can kind of visualize a lot of the things that I'm talking about. The race lecture has video, it has pictures, it has cases in it. I really enjoy that lecture a lot. And the Derm Nerds, we're starting a whole new format this year where every month we're having topics of the month. And like I said, cytology will be one of them in the first half of the year. So just a really cool way to kind of dive into upping your abilities in dermatology. I know it's something that you guys commonly see. So I hope that was helpful. Happy 2022. Let's kick off this year helping lots of itchy pets.